Blog Talk Radio.
You'll take it from us. Snatch it like rats to cheese. So Lord, help me please. Cause I'd rather die on my feet than to live on my knees. Living like I'm bulletproof. Cocking a Glock and naming shoes. My future's ever clear. 180 proof. So I open the bottle to swallow my pride and drink the pain away. I take shots and just lay up, then fade away. Dreaming a better day. Dreaming a better pay. But we got our work cut out for us, so we better pray. Pray to uphold the weak, not for eternal sleep. But if I die, I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
Wow, a lot of people are out here. Shout out to Raheem Devon and 368 Music Group with Dre, the Mayor, Phil Ade, Raheem Devon, the whole movement in the DMV. Shout out to them. I played that song because it's not about the fact about, you know, that it's an R&B song. It's the fact that we're talking about teen violence. We're just talking about, you know, what is going on with our teens today. You know, a lot of our kids are getting into trouble. They're taking away the recreation centers for the kids. Children are getting tried as adults. What is going on? We need to talk about it. We really, really need to talk about what's going on with our youth. So that's what we're talking about today. You know what I'm saying? And we want to talk about that, and we want to expand on it. If you want to talk about it, if you have any questions or anything, come here and talk to us on 347-826-7722. Shout out our sponsors, Ohana Shop, Diverse Media Group, LLC, and Strictly Bump One. Street Queens the Movement, log on to www.streetqueensthemovement.ning.com or email us at streetqueensmovement@gmail.com. And we're going to go ahead and go to the lines and see if we have our wonderful queens on the line. I'm going to check in. Peace, Queen Ebony. How you doing today?
I'm doing good, Les. How are you?
I'm just, you know, just excited, you know what I'm saying? That, you know, I've been building, networking, and just, you know, going in, you know? So, hey, it's an everyday struggle, but we have to make it no matter what. But I'm feeling great today, actually.
That's awesome. Awesome to hear. I was listening to our topic on what we're going to be talking about today. You know, I have personal dealings with the issue today. But I have a couple of people that also have I have one person named Nishan who's going to call in, and he's going to talk about an organization that, you know, he's a part of now as far as where the hip-hop community is going and giving back to their neighborhoods. And also there's another lady by the name of Michela who actually has dealt with, you know, the incidents as far as, like, gunplay and things like that with young people, and she's also starting an organization. So they'll be calling in as well later today.
That's what's up. That's definitely what we need. You know, we need more organizations like that. You know, it's a lot of children in the world that are just coming from the broken home, father's not there. Mother's working 5 or 6 jobs in order to take care of the family, so she can't give that son of hers, that boy of hers, that attention he needs growing up. So he tries to find that sense of family in the streets, and we know the streets has love for nobody, and that's the situation we're talking about. Our children are getting in the streets. What are we doing to help our children? Why are our children getting in the streets? What are some of the scenarios, and how can we help them? That's what we're talking today about. And we're also going to honor our, you know, our history makers, you know, since it is Black History Month this month. Salute to all of the people that are out there in the community trying to do things for the community. I know you have some personal, you know, situation in regards to teen violence. You want to speak on it, Ebony?
Yes, I do, because it's something that's going on and it really has affected my family. But last Thursday, my nephew was arrested for aggravated assault, and that was, like, in the afternoon. And then around 1 o'clock in the morning, my sister got another phone call from the police department, from the Jacksonville, Florida Police Department, and was then told that it had turned into murder. So she was not able to, I don't know what the situation was, because she really hasn't gotten into the great details of the length with me, but as of yesterday, he was in the juvenile detention center. And my sister went to go check on him and visit him and talk to him. And she was told that he was processed as an adult. He's 16 years old, just turned 16 in September. And now he's in the county jail of Jacksonville, Florida. I was told that she never talked to anybody. She wasn't there when they questioned him. She wasn't there when he confessed. And, you know, they're moving really quickly on this case with my nephew, and it's just really sad right now.
So basically, they're not even giving him a honest case. They're just trying to rush the process and basically have him as another statistic, you know, in the game of, you know, let's get him locked up in the system, and, you know, who knows if he'll get out. You know, if you're trying to, see, he's only 16, trying a 16-year-old, you know, as an adult, you know, it's crazy. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely a crazy situation. I got some quick facts. in regards, we're talking about, you know, average cases and stuff. About 7% of teens, you know, belong to gangs, which is some situations, you know, back in the old days, gangs were actually created in order to help the community. But now people have, exploited it for their own interest for, you know, violent acts. Besides violent acts, they use it for, distribution of, drug paraphernalia and more. A lot of children get involved in gangs because of the situation. They basically, want to feel that togetherness. Everybody wants to fit in. So the most vulnerable is when you're at the young age of 12 and up. So they said about 7% of teens belong to gangs. Gang members usually range from the age from 12 to 25 years old. The average age of them joining the gang is at 17. Many large gang members are several ages, ethnic groups. Some gangs have specific ethnics, and while some only contain a certain race. About 20% of all teens know someone who killed or injured, who was killed or injured by a gang member. In some cities, as many as 70% of teens were killed by guns and gang members. I mean, it's ridiculous where we come. You know, before a child was able to play outside on the streets without worrying about getting a slug in them. Nowadays, you're scared to go out to the streets because you're scared a stray bullet would hit a child. What is going on with these kids? Do we blame the government? Do we blame ourselves? Or has society put it to the point where it's so much stress on the family or on the single mother or single father, you know, they have no way of really giving that child enough attention in order for them to basically stay away from gang violence or stay away from violent acts in general? Do we feel that basically, you know, charging a child as an adult, do you think it's right or wrong, Ebony?
Just do a little recap on what you were saying. I think a lot of it, and, you know, I know that my sister has been going through different things with my nephew as far as his behavior. The doctors wouldn't test him for anything while he was locked up prior to this because he was in one of those adolescent juvenile facilities prior to July of last year. And he has a medical condition that he, you know, that was discovered when he was like, I think, 12 years old. And the doctors wouldn't test him for that. Once he got out, he was diagnosed with multiple personality disorder. So I'm not really sure of all the specifics that happened, but I know that my sister has been going through behavioral things with her, and she was a single mother. The father was not in the household and had not been in contact with the kids for quite some time. So basically, she was a single woman, you know, trying to make a living, working, and also trying to take care of her kids. And sometimes, you know, he's the oldest child, so sometimes they do get aggravated, limited to the resources, being stuck in the home, having to help, you know, assist with the care of the younger, you know, children or what have you. And, you know, when he was getting in trouble, she was going to the people and consulting resources and trying to find out what is it that I can do to get my son back on this path. And they really, there's nothing really out there to rehabilitate your child. And he wasn't going out there getting into trouble. He just wasn't, he wasn't going to school. He was, you think he was out of school. He was actually playing hooky. He was being disrespectful. So it hadn't gotten to any of this violence thing. It hadn't gotten to any fever of anything like that. But, you know, there's nothing that can help parents when their children are not selling drugs, they're not on drugs, they're just behavioral, you know, is just disrespect on a different level. You know what I'm saying? It's not it's not to the point where they're disobeying the law. You know what I'm saying? The law has not been broken. But there was nothing to assist her in that. They basically was like, you know, if your son doesn't go to school, you're going to be held accountable for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and or you can call us and we'll pick him up. I mean, where is the rehab and all that? We're supposed to be rehabilitating, you know, dysfunctional kids. But the first thing that it looks like this county wants to do is lock them up.
That's real talk. That's real talk. That's the thing about it. It's like instead of dealing with the problem at hand, they just want to go ahead and hurry up and get it over and done with. We'll go ahead and lock this child up at the moment. You know what I'm saying? Who needs to sit here and deal with all this nonsense? We'll just lock them up. It'll be easier for us. You know? I mean, it's a lot of nonsense. People don't want to do their job. Also, we have social workers that are here dealing with these children that are coming from, some of these children are coming from, you know, abusive relationships, you know, and some of these kids are coming from, you know, a lot of verbal abuse from, you know, from family and from peers. And where do they take the anger out? They take it out on somebody else or innocent bystander, or they just go to the streets to basically let out their anger, and they have nobody to call on. These big brother, big sister mentoring situations, they're slowly taking them away. Government doesn't want to give any funding anymore. But these children need these. They took away all the vocational situations for the children. And another situation is that a lot of our children cannot read, or a lot of them have different situations which causes them, you know, to basically turn violent because they don't want you to look at what they're really dealing with, their real issue. Most of the children that I deal with in the high schools, most of them can't read. And what they do is instead of sitting here and like, okay, well, I'm going to hang out with the gangs and I'm going to hang out with these people, you know what I'm saying? That'll basically, you know, deter people from really paying attention. What's the problem? That I cannot read. Because the government and the system didn't take the time out to try to help that child in order for them to get the proper essentials they needed to be a functional citizen. You know what I'm saying? In America, where is the rehab? What are we doing to help our children? What are we doing to help our children? That is the problem. A lot. This is some things because we talk about depression. A lot of our children are depressed. Either they're depressed because you might have had recently gone through a divorce. They might be depressed because they feel like, oh, my mom's not making that much money. I can't get, you know, the finer things in the world and stuff like that. And some children can't deal with that. So they go out and they steal, they boost to get what they need. If you find an opportunity that is presented to you, an average young kid sees a man driving up with these big rims and these Jeeps and stuff like that. I want that. But they're not going to tell the children what they went through in order to accomplish or get that situation, are they? No. So now these children are going in the streets, all I want to do is have cars like this, have that. Some people blame hip-hop music. How do you feel about that, Ebony?
I really can't say that I blame the music. I can say that people really need to really start monitoring their children. Even if you have to work, you know, you still need to know or have that interaction with your child. Start knowing who your neighbors are. You know, that's a lot of things, too. I mean, back in the day when you were doing something wrong and your parents knew all the neighbors in your area, you know, the neighbor would find you, whoop your tail, then bring you to your parent, and your parent would whoop your tail. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, people are so overprotective of their children to where you can't tell them anything about their child, number one, or that's a conflict between parent and parent, which would have, should have been between child and parent. And we're living in areas where we don't even know who our neighbors are. So you can't call anyone and say, hey, can you check and see if so-and-so's, you know, in the house, or is so-and-so okay? You know, there's no, you know, there's supposed to be unity in your neighborhood. You're supposed to be neighborly to your neighbor.
Uh-huh. That's that quote that they say, it takes a village to raise a child. We've lost that. It takes a village to raise a child. We've definitely lost that situation when it comes to our children. Our children are lost out here. We're talking about, if you're just joining us, we're talking about teen violence. What's going on, man? What's going on with our teens nowadays? Teens are getting tried as adults. How do you feel about that situation? Teens are getting tried as adults. We're talking about teen violence right now. Why are these children getting involved with that? Is it the family? Is it the family that we should blame? Is it the community? Is it music? What is it? What is going on with our kids? We want you to speak on it today. We're talking about teen violence. Caller from the 347-645. You're live on Street Queens The Movement. Tell us where you're calling from, what you think.
How you doing? This is Nayshawn from Queens, New York.
Hey, what's up, Nayshawn?
Hey. How you doing, Nayshawn? This is one of the gentlemen that I was telling you about that's calling in regarding something that they're doing in their area.
Yeah, how y'all doing tonight? Basically, it's all a coincidence. It's a huge topic everywhere, and you know, believe it or not, it's a lot of people that's trying to do something about it now. As you were saying, you know, a lot of times, you know, we blame, you know, ourselves or the music or the community. It's not just the music, and it's not just the parents. It's everything. You know, like I said, you know, in our community, what we do, we started something called the Peacekeepers. Now, the Peacekeepers is not like we're policing. Like, you know, we're not trying to stop crime, but we're not allowing our elderly to get robbed. We're not allowing children to fight. We're not allowing things to happen that it can be stopped, you know? And that's a problem in these communities. Everybody's, you know, like, oh, they'll turn their head when they see something happening. So what we're doing is we're coming together to get to know who's the leader of the gangs and who's the people that's causing the troubles and what's the most you know, endangered area, you know, what time of the day and things like that, and go out there and stand out there and watch our community, because if we don't do it, you know, our kids will be lost in the system, you know, due to, you know, death or in jail, you know.
That's real. Yeah. So with the Peacekeepers and everything, you know, how can people, you know, get involved with the situation, and what part of New York are you in?
I'm in Jamaica, Queens, New York.
Okay.
But we're basically, you know, we're you know, trying to be, you know, worldwide with, we're following Captain Dennis, which is actually was Farrakhan's personal bodyguard for over 30 years, and he's been coming from Houston. And it's just all over from Philadelphia, Houston, California, and just taking his time to go around the whole entire USA and just to get this thing together, because it's getting out of control. You know, parents shouldn't be burying their kids. You know, kids should be burying their parents. And, you know, if we don't stop, you know, this nonsense and letting these kids do whatever they want to do, it's never going to get better. You know, and I, like I said, I don't just do it, you know, just for one kid. I do it for every single kid. I don't care if you're not my child or whatever. If I see you doing something wrong, I'm going to say something, you know?
That's tough. Like, it takes a village to raise a child. We got another caller from the 347-47 New York in the building. I think it sounds like the Bronx is in the building. What up, TDI?
What's going on, man? What's going on, people? What's going on, man? I'm feeling Homeboy's movement right there, man. That's what's up, man. I could hopefully start something positive. There's a lot of young knuckleheads out there that need to be in their place, man. You know what I'm saying?
And,
Most definitely, man. It's definitely a movement, and you know, we're not looking for, you know, boys. We're looking for, you know, men that's, you know, willing to go out there, and you know, a lot of homes that don't have fathers, and you know, the mothers have to work two jobs, so there's nobody in the home to you know, to actually monitor what's going on. And then you have the young ladies out there that, you know, they follow, but they want to be the, you know, the five star chicks or the Barbies and all the stuff like that. They're not really getting education. So what they mindset on is getting a guy with the most money and whatever the case being, and that's it. So
no direction,
you know,
no direction.
Yeah, and you know, with the peacekeepers, you know, with the peacekeepers, it's not just for males, for females as well. We're just trying to get our younger generation, because if we don't prepare them for the future, then there won't be any future at all. So it's up to us, you know, as a community, you know, to, you know, put our foot down and start, you know, and lead them in the right direction in life, you know.
Definitely, man, shit.
You got any experiences, you know what I'm saying, with little, you know what I'm saying, cats, you know what I'm saying, young cats, you know, around the way, you know what I'm saying? I know a lot of young cats around your way look up to you and everything, you know what I'm saying? What's some of the situations that you find that some of these youth are dealing with, you know, that caused them to get into this whole situation with dealing with violence and, you know, getting these gun charges and all this stuff and getting tried as adults?
Yo, man, I just got my neighbor downstairs in the sixth floor right under me. They just ran up in his crib for guns and all that craziness, man. It comes on, like, yo, from generations, man. I live in one of the most notorious neighborhoods in the Bronx. And since I moved here in 94, it's been the same. It's just, it's like generation to generation, man. If people don't set a standpoint and set a good, positive example, nobody's going to know. Everything is negative around here. Everybody's like 15, 16 years old, throwing up gang signs, and they want to be following the older cats. But they don't look far up and see that everybody who, all the real dudes who's been out here are in jail or dead. And that's the truth. Like, I moved here, I met two of the realest dudes in the project. Right now, they both doing life in jail for murder. And it's sad, man, because they were younger than me. Like, they were like 21, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
They threw their whole life away over what? Nothing.
And, you know, another thing, too, a lot of the kids and the teenagers that's coming up, they see the lifestyle of, you know, a rap or whatever the case be. So, you know, I ask a lot of kids, oh, which one of you when you grow up? Oh, I want to be a rapper. I want to be a, you know, you don't really hear, oh, I want to be a doctor, a lawyer anymore, because they, you know, they feel like that's just a waste of time. You know, we got to get the kids back to going to school. And, you know, and now they have this thing in New York City where they're trying to take the Metro cards away from the kids, and, you know, they're going to have to start paying to go to school, and, you know, how are you going to do that when, you know, how are you going to do that when the parents are losing their jobs? So then what happens is if they don't have money to go to school, then they're stuck at home, and then, you know, that next step from that is everybody's going to be in the streets just wandering around just causing trouble.
Yeah. More crime rate goes up, more people in the streets, more dropouts.
Yep, and that's the truth. And I got another caller. Caller from the 917. You're live in the building with Street Queens, the movement, you know, with Ebony, TDI, myself, Lush, and Nashawn talking about the Peacekeepers movement he got going on in New York, talking about teen violence. You know, what are some of the issues, what's going on with our people, our youth? You know what I mean? It takes a community to raise a child. What's your viewpoint on it, 917?
Peace. You got your sexy, sexy pink queen in the building. I know I called late, but girl, you don't even know. They said a snowstorm and everybody's acting like the world is going to end in 2 days. I'm in the supermarket. I mean, they're fighting. I got all my kids with me. I'm like, oh, my God. I wish I had, like, a video camera, like, to be able to see this. I told them, listen, it's 2010, not 2012. They got confused. They were a little scared in the supermarket. I don't know.
Wow.
But anybody said, let me call in. I got my kids in the car. I just packed everything up, and I said, let me just call on the ride because I've been out and about. Everybody's acting crazy. They say in a snowstorm, and people are really, really scared out here in Philly. So I'm reporting live from Philly. We're in Aramingo, and people are acting nuts, and there's not even a snowflake. But anyway, getting back to the topic. Woo! Getting back to the topic. What I think, I definitely think think it takes the whole community. We don't have that nowadays. Back in the days, if you did something wrong, by the time you got to your house, you got slapped so many times that, you know, you thought about it two or three times before you did anything. Because the grocery guy slapped you, the neighbor slapped you, the fucking child from the block slapped you, you getting slapped left and right from everybody. And then when you got to your mother, that's the whole ultimate, you know, as whooping. So you really thought about it, you know, like, wow, do I even want to go through this day? My whole block is going to beat me up if I steal this cupcake or whatever, you know what I'm saying, if I get into a fight. And, you know, back then we had, like, a little bit more morals. Now it's, you know, the stuff and more values, the stuff with the money and you know, and our men, we don't have that many kings. You know, there's a lot of queens that hold their whole family down. There's a lot of single parents, a lot of single mothers that are trying to raise these boys. And, I mean, we can only do but so much. We, you know, they said it takes a woman to raise a woman, it takes a man to raise a man. But if there's no men around, then, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, where the fault is going to go? To the white man? No. It's going to go to all of our men that's supposed to, you know, do what they're supposed to do, and they're too busy running the streets and doing other nonsense, you know, that creates them being removed away from their family and away from their children. So, you know, it's all about education. You know, it's got to come back to education, educating, you know, being positive with everything, and definitely being a leader and showing them leadership, showing your community leadership and these young kids leadership, and showing them that, you know, going the positive way, you still can accomplish things and a lot better, and you don't got to look behind your back and none of that, you know, when you go on a positive path. And it's not easy, because the hardest thing to do is to remain on a positive path. The easiest thing is to do all spiteful and devilish things. That comes easy. You know, where it's hard when you try to stay positive, that's when you really, you know, a man about yours. When you commit and you say, I'm going to school, I'm going to do this. I always tell my son, he's right here with me, he's 17. I tell him, you be a leader, not a follower. You know, you have to lead your way. And even if it's the wrong way that you're going, but you led yourself there. Not that you're going to knock yourself and be like, wow, I followed this one and look at where I'm at now. You know? So, you know, with every move and every road you decide to go, you have to deal with consequences, whether it be negative or positive, and then that's up to you. That's, you know, the negative, you know where is that leading at. And the positive can only just, you know, keep you here longer. So, I mean, it's in the community, you know. It's hard, like, everybody looks out. Everybody used to look out for everybody else before. Now it's like everybody's looking out for self. And you know, and it's understandable because of the times why that's happened. But that doesn't mean that we should continue that and condone that. We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that. We should definitely, you know, try to reach out and always try to help. I know I do. I do in my small ways. Not only the community stuff that I do, but I could be in a store, and you know I see them missing a little quarter or dollar something for something to eat. I pop it here, you know. And next time those kids see me, it's like, wow, that's the lady that bought me that chip or gave me that salad. Thank you, ma'am. Or can I do this? Mm-hmm. Can I do that? You know, you infect. People being positive, just like you can infect people being negative.
And
if somebody's looking up and down constantly, then you get that aura like, wait a minute, I'm going to have to fight. But if somebody be like smiling at you like, hey, have a nice day, you're like, oh, okay, oh, that person is cool. You know what I mean? And you can infect people in a positive way.
And that's real talk right there. And Emma's telling the real talk. We need to send out more positive energy than negative energy. It's so easy for people to be negative, but it seems like it's so hard for people to be positive. And we need to start acting upon that, because our children are running around here lost. If you're just joining us, I see you 347 and 770. You're live on the show with the sexy Emma E2K magazine, Street Queen, along with our beautiful Street Queen Ebony. And TDI representing the Bronx area, New York, along with Nashawn representing the Queens area, and also organizer of Peacekeepers for the Youth. So we're talking about teen violence. We're talking about, you know, how can we help? How can we assist, you know, our youth, our children? Like, or do you know experiences or situations that you can relate with the situation? Caller from the 770, looks like it's ATL. What's up, baby?
Hey, what's happening?
Ain't nothing much.
Well, just
hey, how you doing?
Sure. How y'all doing?
Right.
All right. Well, just speaking on the topic of teen violence, the thing that I would say is that these children are not.
If you buy a window, yeah, the air.
Oh no, I don't know. I may have a bad connection because I'm actually calling through a cell phone, so y'all have to bear with me. But on the topic of teen violence, one thing that we always have to remember is that these children are not just like falling out of the sky. You know what I'm saying? This is not Avatar. You know what I'm saying? These children are coming through, whether it's male or female, through the female loins or through the male loins. You know what I'm saying? These are our children. You know what I'm saying? So we can't turn our back on these children despite their shortcomings or whatever, because they are a reflection of us. You know what I'm saying? The time that you put into your child is what you're going to get up out of your child. You know what I'm saying? So my children haven't reached a teenage years as of yet, but for the most part, I let them know everything that's going on in the world, and I try to do the best that I can to impart my knowledge based on my own experiences, because they can learn from me, whether they learn it from my mistakes or they learn it from, you know what I'm saying, the proper decisions that I've made. So, you know, when you see these children out here and you see them wilding out, never disconnect yourself from the fact that these are our children. You know what I'm saying? And the only thing that they need is a little guidance, and, you know, they need love. You know what I'm saying? The mistakes that they're making are all based on a lack of love or understanding that they are loved. You know what I'm saying? I grew up in California, so most of the kids that I know, you know what I'm saying, that got involved into negative things, you know what I'm saying, they was seeking something outside of home that they felt like they wasn't getting at home. You know what I'm saying? So it's not about money, because I also know that people that was dirt poor in California that raised children to be college graduates and, you know, productive members of society. You know what I'm saying? So the thing that we got to check is that our children will always be a reflection of us. So before you look at these kids out here and look at the things they do as a negative situation, always go back and check, you know what I'm saying, what you're doing, you know what I'm saying, in order to give them the best possible example to learn from.
That's true. That's deep, brother, for real. That's some real stuff you stated right there.
Hello?
Is that not, Sean? You were saying something?
Yeah, I was saying, you know, it's another way to get to these kids, too. And, you know, one thing that we do is reward. We reward children with trips, you know, prizes, gift certificates, you know, have them work for a goal. You know, not giving them money, but have them, you know, set a goal for themselves. Hey, listen, if you get good grades, we're going to take you to the next game. You get good grades, we're going to take you to Six Flags Get Adventures. So, you know, these kids, you know, they're working to go to Six Flags, but at the end of the day, they still working. They're bettering themselves. So, you know, a lot of times these kids, you know, they look at everything like, well, I don't have money. I can't do this. They blame society on, you know, the mistakes and, you know, the downfall of everything. It's not. It's all about, like the brother said, love. You got to show love. You got to show support. Even if they do something wrong, you got to, you know, say, listen, you know, what you did was wrong, but you know what? You're going to change that. You know,
and that's real talk right there. That's real talk. We got a caller from the 352. You're live on Street Queens, the movement, talking about real issues that affect the community. We're talking about teen violence. What's going on with our youth? They're getting involved in so much violence. So many teens are dying. What is going on? What do you think about it? You're live with Nashawn of Peacekeepers, along with Ebony and our sexy Emma of E2K Magazine, TDI, and our brother from ATL, Peace 352.
What's going on? This is your girl. I'm Ebony's little sister. I'm calling from Florida right now. She wanted me to call in to talk to the youth because I am a teenager and I do have a big impact on the youth in my area. And she wanted me to call in on my foundation, so I'm calling in to, you know, just hear what's going on and to, you know, let me know about my foundation and what I'm trying to do with that and everything.
Okay, speak on it, love.
I started a foundation 2 months ago called RAGS, Recovering a Generation Slowly. Shortly afterwards, I lost my best friend to violence. What I'm trying to do, you know, I'm 19 years old. I'm just trying to show all of the youth that there's more to life than sex, drugs, alcohol, and violence. You can do things outside of that. So what we're trying to do, we're trying to start something where, you know, they can have a reason to want to do right because they'll know they'll be rewarded for it by staying in school, by getting jobs, by working, by not being in the streets, by not killing people, by not doing all these things, spreading HIV, getting sick, dying away, because that's what's happening.
That's real tough. Hold up, I got to give you something for that because you said you 19 years old and you was doing positive things for your community. I got to give these claps to you and Nashawn for doing the positive things in your community. This is what I'm talking about. Taking back your streets and taking back your communities, becoming history makers. We can't wait for nobody. We can't wait for the government. The government makes so much money off of our children being locked up in the jails.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? The system is created for this.
Yes,
the system was designed for this. And we cannot allow them to erase us from history. We have to continue to impact our community and impact these children. But go ahead, love, and tell us more about the whole situation with your foundation.
Exactly. That's, you know, me and my sister Ebony, we were having a conversation about that last night because, you know, that's really what is happening. We are losing ourselves. That's why the name of my foundation is Recovering a Generation Slowly, because we're losing ourselves. Our young kids are dying, you know, from HIV, AIDS, whatever the case may be. And me being a singer and a songwriter myself, an artist, you know, I see the impact I have on younger girls and younger guys in my town that are like, you know, you're really doing something positive. Nobody from here makes it. Nobody ever got up to try to do something. And me being able to have an impact on them, I feel like I can have an impact on everybody else. Just because I'm young doesn't mean anything. That makes it 100 times better because they're going to listen to somebody that's coming from their age range. So
yep.
With that, I want to be able to, you know, make sure they're in school. If you're 18 and older, okay, of course you don't have to go to college. That's your deal. But continuously try to do something positive with your life. Try to work. Try to build a future for yourself. Of course, I want to encourage college, but being honest, that's not for everybody. That's not what everybody wants to do. But just try to work. Try to keep a positive head. Surround yourself with positive people. Stay out of, you know, out of the problems in jail and all of that. And you'll have something to look forward to from my foundation with us rewarding you, taking you on trips, taking you here and showing you the world, doing different things.
Well, how can with both of y'all organizations, from Nashawn's organization and Ebony Sisters organization, young, what is your name? So you know, so I can so we can let the people know and stuff.
I go by Gorgeous.
Okay. All right. Gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
Gorgeous, we want to get your contact information. Can you get that contact information and how people can support or be a part of the situation or even come there to be a speaker? Can you get that people that information?
Most definitely. I am looking for different leaders in different states at the moment, so I am going to need people to be contacting me. You can contact me on myspace.com/ Miss Gorgeous Music, MISSGORGEOUSMUSIC, or on Twitter is at the Miss Gorgeous, T-H-E-M-I-S-S-G-O-R-G-E-O-U-S. Or also my email is missgorgeous0227@gmail.com. And I do take in everybody's requests and everything that, you know, people bring my way. So I will respond to everybody.
That's what it is. Nashawn, can you give out that information? And if people want to be a part or do anything for it or donate, you know, can you get that information out, Nashawn?
Yeah, most definitely. You can just Google me. I mean, because everything comes up from my page. That's just to have everything tagged down. I have to work on that. You can get, you know, my Twitter is, you know, @guilty147. You know, I'm always on the Twitter. I live on it. So, you know, I'm always networking, and definitely you can, that's the best, you know, way you can reach me for now. And, you know, like I said, there's one thing that I told this child, you know, or I could say young man, I told him, you know, he said he wants to live a lifestyle, he wants to be rich and everything like that. And I told him, I said, listen, you work hard now, you play later. You play now, and you'll be working hard for the rest of your life. So with that being said, you know, we have to, like I said, we have to have this impact on these children. And I'm so for it, because I saved one kid from a game where he was with the Bloods. He was a Blood, and his friend, you know, had died, and it wasn't for nothing, no robbery, no nothing. He died for a color that he was wearing, and I had to show him different aspects of, you know, him living that lifestyle, and then I actually woke him up out of it, and now he's a high school graduate, and he's into communications, and he's doing films and everything like that. So, you know, I definitely, you know, if I help one kid, I'm sure I can help somebody else. So that's, you know, my main goal in life, just to try to, you know, make my community, not just my community, but just everybody, you know, just, you know, down in Florida, anywhere we can just, you know, network and just connect. I mean, because we're all a nation and one anyway. So, you know, it just takes one, you know, to make everything happen, you know.
I think you and Gorgeous need to link up, so, you know what I'm saying, y'all can, you know, cross-promote and stuff, you know what I mean?
Most definitely. I'm sorry to cut you off. I was just saying I'm actually connected with a gentleman from Germany.
Uh-huh.
Germany. Yeah, all in Germany. We're going back and forth on ideas because he's dealing through the same thing. So don't, you know, it's not just, you know, New York and Florida and nice. It's just all over the world this is happening. So, you know, we need to make this a worldwide thing, you know, and the more people that get involved, and trust me, the people that see, the people that's involved, they, if they follow them, they're going to follow in their footsteps. Trust me.
That's real talk. Yeah. And you know, for the people just joining in, we're talking about teen violence. What can we do to save our youth? We have Gorgeous that has a teen organization in Florida. We have Nashawn that has the Peacekeepers in New York. And we're giving out, you know, different things that we can do. Some of the signs of children being involved in violence, I just want to give y'all some quick, you know, info. According to the Center of the Disease and Control, in recent years, an average of 15 teens were killed every day, usually with firearms, and 7,500 teens are treated in the emergency rooms for violent-related injuries each year. And a recent CDC study of teens found that 33% have been in a physical fight in the last years, and also 17% reported that they have been taking weapons to school in previous 30 days. Teen homicide is the leading cause for death among African-American teens, and far more victims are male than female. But all teens can be at risk. Some factors that increase the chance of teens will be a victim of violence are involvement in gangs or fighting, low parental involvement, discipline and inconsistent or too harsh, use of drugs or alcohol by teens or parents, history of violence in the home, emotional problems, lack of self-control, injuring animals or people, lack of involvement in positive extracurricular activities, exposure to media violence, lack of economic opportunities in a community, low income, poor performance in school, especially due to learning disorders. This risk factor was not risk factors that might not cause them to be involved is these are things that you can do as a parent, some of the tips that you can try to do. I know a lot of women are single mothers. I know a lot of men are single fathers. I know a lot of people are coming from the broken home, but we have to take care of our children. Some of the things you can try to do is talk or listen to our child, showing that you care. A lot of us, we come in the house, we so tired from working 4 or 5 jobs, and your child just say, Mom, I want you to read my homework, or I want you to check out, you know what I'm saying, this, I'm performing here, can you check it out? Nah, man, just go watch TV. We always send our kid to TV. Take out that small bit of time in your day to listen to that child. Maybe that's all that child needs, just to change that child's life. Also, know where they go. Know what they do. Know who they're with. Most teens' homicides take place with unsupervised activities outside of school. Half of the parents are like, okay, she's at John John's house. But if you ask the parent, where's John John's address? They don't know. What's John John's phone number? I don't know. I just called my child on the cell phone. If your child died today, you wouldn't know who to call unless they call in from homicide and say, can you identify this child? We need to stay and find out what's going on with our children. Some of us just drop our children, whatever, and say, I'm going to see you, and you might not see your child the next day, God forbid. Include your children in family activities. Encourage positive activities such as extracurricular activities and church involvement. Like, I mean, a lot of people, like, you know, a lot of children, they like to dance. Encourage them. They want to take ballet. They want to take hip-hop dance. Get them involved in that stuff. If there's a Boys and Girls Club in there and it's free, try to do something like that. These kids want to be involved. Take that negative energy and involve it. The Nintendo Wii and the Internet and all that, you know what I'm saying, it's all good, but get them involved in things. Children are anxious. They get bored. So if they're bored, what they going to do? Go out to the streets and see if there's some excitement out there. You don't want your child to be a statistic, do you? Okay? Discourage the involvement in gangs. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, talk to them about gangs. Talk to them about different things. You know what I'm saying? And also talk to them about, you know, sex and different things like that, because, you know, you got some children, you know, they get involved in rapes and different situations like that because they either have dealt with a violence or a rape or been abused or something like that. We need to talk to our kids. When you see any kind of, you know, inkling of that there's some kind of violent tendency in your child, talk to your child. If you feel like you can't get through to them, set up sessions with a psychiatrist to get some counseling. Get the school involved. Some schools, you might say they don't care, but the child needs to get some help. Okay, and also, you know what I'm saying, monitor and control your child's exposure to violent media, including television, movies, video games, and more. Okay, we all like Grand Theft Auto, but it does have a lot of drugs, killing, shooting, and all that stuff. Society nowadays promotes violence. If you look at the young child that got beat up and killed, that got beat to death by a gang in Chicago, this child, Darion, that got beat to death and it was viewed on YouTube, you were assisting a murder for a child. And the thing about it is, what we did not do is somebody didn't call the police to report that. Somebody could have saved that child's life. American people are prone to violence. We are adding to the violence by doing this stuff. We need to monitor this stuff. What happened to our children reading? People don't take the time to help their children read. The average children go to juvenile detention centers, then they're sent to federal jail. They go to the penitentiaries. Half of them are in there because they can't read. Percentages are about like 80% of them couldn't read and learn how to read in jail. If you live your life and you can't read a stop sign, what you going to do? Get into some violence because you don't want, you want to distract people from not knowing that you can't read. And that's the situation. We have to help our children no matter what. We got a caller from the 347 234. Shout out to True Son Ali. You're live on Street Queens, the movement. Peace, True Son. Peace, True Son. You there?
Yeah, yeah, you hear me?
Yeah, we talking about teen violence, man.
Yeah,
what you
man,
think?
I've been listening in, man. I've been sitting here having my meal for the evening and checking out the show, man. And I think this is real important, you know, getting this message out to the people. Definitely, I heard you speak on the young kid that got beat up and they put him on, actually beat to death and they put him on YouTube. That was crazy because I actually seen that myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with the oohs and the ahs, like, where somebody help this boy, man, you know what I mean? But, you know, man, it's crazy, you know, the world, the way the world is. So we just got to try and put our two cents in and make it a little better, you know what I mean?
Well, True, as you being a father, how do you feel some of the things that you can do as a man in regards to, you know, implementing to, you know, of just, you know, helping your own children, you know what I'm saying, in regards to dealing with teen violence, just dealing with the streets in general?
Well, you know what I'm saying? Indeed, you know what I'm saying? Okay, you put it out there. I am a father. a proud father indeed. You know what I'm saying? I was just kicking it with my cousin the other day, and we was talking because my oldest daughter is 16. So, you know what I'm saying? I actually do have teenagers, you know what I'm saying, that are out there. I'm in New York, but she's not in New York. She's in Virginia. But in every state, you know what I'm saying, it's a ghetto. You know what I'm saying? United States ghettos. And no matter where you may put it, you know what I'm saying, there's situations going on in every part, every state, everywhere, you know, every age level, you know what I'm saying, especially if they got to go to and from school because, you know, you get caught up anywhere, like, you know what I'm saying, you can get caught by a stray bullet, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know what I'm saying, my whole contribution to the thing is, like, you know what I'm saying, making my kids wise and teaching them to be leaders so when they go to school, or, you know, wherever they at with their friends, you know what I'm saying, they can, you know what I mean, sort of rub off and you know what I mean, maybe, you know what I'm saying, if they're going to be a leader of the pack, at least be the leader of something positive, you know what I'm saying, and you leading your other friends and everything to do something positive along with, you know what I mean, along with themselves and everything, you know what I mean?
That's real talk right there. And True Son definitely promotes a lot of positivity, you know what I'm saying? Just, you know, in society and community, we have to start surrounding ourselves with positive people and allowing our children to surround themselves with positive people. We need to stop this crab in the barrel situation, you know? You even see it when you got children that are athletes and they want to come out of the ghetto or they want to come out. But you got this guy right here that's in the hood, and he's like, I don't want you to make it, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to shoot you up because I don't want you to make it out of the hood. I'm in the hood, so you should stay in here. Why do we have this mentality? Why do we have this mentality? Ebony, speak on it.
Well, just if I can interject real quick, you know.
Hold up, babe. Let me get Ebony because she's on the panel, and then I'm gonna go to you, my dude. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, Ebony.
I think what needs to happen is instead of us just, you know what I'm saying, the parents need to be educated. I think people who have kids, they need to be educated. I think that there's a lot of people that have had kids. They have to work. They have to take care of their families. But, you know, they're blindsided to what actually is going on, just like you said. We don't know who Jimmy's parents is or, you know, they're having a party. You think your child is – you raise your child and you think your child is a certain way. But we never know how our children act when they're not around us. So we definitely need to be double-checking what's going on. You know, if you don't know who Jimmy is and you're going over to his house and you haven't talked to his parents and you don't have the address, then you should not allow your child to be going. Because there's a lot of things that happen. You know, you've seen it in the news where parents were not at the house. There was a party, and there was alcohol involved with the children. Then there you go with, you know, people, the kids drinking too much, alcohol poisoning and things of that nature. Violence comes out when there's alcohol involved. Maybe there's gang members that showed up to the party and things of that nature. So I think that it needs to be mandated. There needs to be some rules and some regulations mandated for the parents to help us continue to raise our kids. Each day
back
of
up that
PPE
now. Hmm. So
we never know. We don't know. You know, parents are blamed, but they're not trained. You know what I'm saying? You start off and you have a baby. You're growing with your child as a child develops into their stages. You know what you did as a youngster, but nothing is ever the same as what it was when we were young because we're not going through all this stuff. If you look around and you go back to when you were young, what was going on at that point in time, life is totally different from back then. You know what I'm saying? So I think that we should also pay attention to what exactly is going on and also, yeah, communicate with our kids. That should also be a really good thing that, you know, eat dinner with your family. It's simple things that can be done because to bridge the gap between parent and child. You know, there's a child that can be going to school getting bullied every single day, but he's afraid to tell his parents because they don't even have that relationship. So the child comes to school and starts shooting at people, you know, and the parents never have any clue of what exactly was going on because the child didn't have a relationship with their parents. There's a gap between children and parents these days, not only between the fathers of the children, the absentee fathers or the absentee mothers. There's a gap between in-house parents with their children as well.
That's real talk. Gentleman from the 770, go ahead and speak on, you know, you had some opinions about the situation. Go ahead and speak, my dude.
Yeah, that's what you know, the previous speaker was basically, I'm piggybacking on what she was saying, which is that as far as I'm concerned, the whole basis of the problem that we have now is based on children and parents being alienated from each other. You know what I'm saying? And you know, the thing is that things have changed, but they haven't changed. You know, society at large has, you know what I'm saying, created better technology. Yeah, we got a lot of technology, but we're not producing better people. You know what I'm saying? That's because the people that's on the phone right now and having this conversation is not in charge of society at large. You know what I'm saying? You know, if certain people were in charge, you know what I'm saying, more emphasis would be put on creating better people instead of creating better things. You know what I'm saying? So our children, but here's where the responsibility falls on us. You know what I'm saying? I grew up in the video game era. You know what I'm saying? So I can play the Atari 2600, I can play the Xbox, I can play the PS3 or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, all that is nothing. All, you know, the computers and Twittering and all that. And I'm 38 years old, so I can do everything that my youngsters, you know, can do. You know what I'm saying? If you look at a lot of the fashion with the skinny jeans and all that, and all the things that they're doing right now, it's just a repeat of what we've done before. You know what I'm saying? You can't wear a fitted. You know what I'm saying? We've been rocking fitteds and starter coats and matching the shoe strings and the seams on the jeans match the shirt. I mean, there's nothing that they can do that's different than what we've already done. You know what I'm saying? But the thing that we've done is we fell into the same pattern as our parents before us, whether that was a single parent or two parents, which is that, you know what I'm saying, we close our mind to the changes that's occurring in front of our eyes. So now it's like guys like, you rocking skinny jeans, you gay or whatever, but go look at Run DMC first album when they was wearing straight leg leads and tell me that they, you know what I'm saying, and tell me that they was gay. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is this, you know, in the time and space that our generation occupied, you know what I'm saying, we passing the torch to the younger generation. And everything that they looking for outside of their home and in the world, it's already in us. It's already in us as parents, but we don't let them know the real deal about us and all the things that we've been through and all the things that we've been involved in because we feel like it's not good parenting. You know what I'm saying? But when your child reaches that critical age where they're going to make a decision on whether they're going to go out and be involved in a street fight or pick up a gun or whatever the case may be, you know what I'm saying, that real conversation that you have with them to let them know that in one point in your life you was at that point too, you know, that's going to make all the difference in the world because it's not coming out of a book. You know what I'm saying? It's not Dr. Martin Luther King on the pages of a book. You know what I'm saying? It's the hero that they already been looking up to all the way to this point. You know what I'm saying?
And that's,
you are your child's hero.
That's,
you know,
the truth.
And when you stop opening your mouth and letting them know the really real, that's when they have question marks over their head like the Riddler. And all over their body like the Riddler. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be in tune with them. So when you see them starting to wander and have confusion, man, I mean, you just take a day. You know, you just take a day and have them sit right next to you and tell them everything.
And that's real tough right there, player. Hold on, sorry to cut you off. But I got to shout out the people in the chat room. Shout out to Citizen Black and Cogent in Cogent in the chat room. Cogent is 17 years old, white young male. He wanted to call in to talk about, you know, teen violence and stuff like that. He should be calling in a few. Also, Citizen Black made a statement. He doesn't have a phone to call in at the moment, but he says that we as a people seem to promote gun use. You see it every day on TV. You see it in videos. You see it on YouTube. It's in your face nowadays. It's not like something that is, oh, it was taboo. Now it's in your face every single day. You're seeing guns. You're seeing it. You're seeing war. You're seeing this stuff every single day. You're seeing it in the video games. It's all like programming for our children. So he's talking about that. We got a caller from the 216. Caller from the 216. You're live on Street Queens Movement. With peace. Are you there? 216. That's not, that looks like Ohio, I think. Is that Ohio? 216.
Yeah, that's a Cleveland area code.
Maybe
peace.
You just want to listen.
Oh, I guess
yeah.
you want to speak or you just wanted to listen. 216. I guess they just want to listen. But thanks, 216. You can still stay on the line and listen. Caller from the 908. You're live on Street Queens, the Movement, with Ebony, our beautiful street queen, along with our beautiful street queen and sexy street queen, Emma of E2K Magazine, along with our gentleman from ATL and Ebony's sister, Gorgeous, who has a teen program, and True Son Ali, caller from the 908. We're talking about teen violence. Speak on it. 908?
Yeah.
Please, 908.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, what's good?
What's good? Hey, what's your name and where you calling from, love?
My name is Lawrence. I'm from Belmar, New Jersey.
Oh, okay, cool. You know, you want to speak on the teen violence situation, love?
Well, my school had 3 suicides this year.
Yeah. What's good? Hey, what's your name and where you calling from, love? Oh, sweetie, you gotta turn your the radio down because we're going to get the feedback, babe.
All right. I'll turn it down.
Okay, go ahead and continue. And this is Cold Gang in the chat room, right? You're 17, right?
Yeah, I'm 18.
Okay, go ahead and speak, love. Go ahead.
So I got a question from Citizen Black. As a white rapper, do I support black people killing each other to entertain youth in suburbs? Can I answer that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand what he's saying, first of all, about I'm not entertained by that. I don't know people that are. I don't live in the burbs, though, so, I mean, are people entertained by that to begin with?
That's the question, but, you know, you're in this age range of the prime age range where, you know what I'm saying, people are usually targeted at that time, 17, 16, 15, that are targeted into getting into gangs and getting into related situations like that, teen suicide. You know, I don't think people are amused, but, you know, with the whole Darion situation, like True Son said, you know, a lot of people hit that site and saw him getting brutally beaten, and not once did somebody call for 911 while this child was beaten to death.
Right.
So do people in general love violence? Because a lot of people like horror movies. A lot of people like slasher movies. Do a lot of people promote violence versus good things? That's the question.
Violence rules this world right now. Look at the news. If I watch the news, what's going to be on? Me, somebody being successful and happy out of, like, let's say some ghetto, or just this giant fight where, like, 10 people died because of guns and violence?
So over there where you're at in New Jersey, do you see a lot of gang-related situations or a lot of teen suicides? Why do you think most teens in your area get involved in violence?
Why? Drugs, money, drug dealing, yeah. That's probably why people need money, you know. It's not the best money coming through, so. They got to try to get money. If somebody's blocking them, they're going to fight.
If I can just say something on that, me being 18, I'll be 19 in a couple weeks. I feel like us as teenagers as well, we're different. Like somebody said earlier, I believe it was Ebony. These times are different than when our parents, you know, were younger. I feel like we're more mature, a lot of us, and we know better. That's where it comes in, where a lot of us have to have our own minds. We can't take the peer pressure, and we can't blame it on our parents. But there does need to be a communication between us and our parents where we can talk to them about things and be able to openly express things where this stuff can be blocked. Me, I've been through it all. I've seen both of my parents be shot in my living room in my face. I've lost my best friend. I've seen everything that you could possibly see, but I still have my own mind in my head to go on and do something to better my community. I come from a community where AIDS is like crazy. You're always hearing about somebody getting killed, but you still have to have your own mindset to want to do better and to help better other people.
You see, I feel like most of society where this does happen is lower income, single parent neighborhood. So when they're young and impressionable minds, if you're not being parented, then you will not be able to know to be your own person that this is wrong. So they will fall into it to try to find a family, and then they end up in gang violence, and that's just how they're raised, you know. I don't support it, though, definitely, Citizen Black. I mean, that's fucked up. And I agree with the they don't like black on white, but black on black is fine.
Yeah, that's real talk, you know what I'm saying? It's like us as a people, we'll sit here and watch our own people go against each other, but if you see a white and a black person, everybody's at an uproar, but nobody really says nothing when it's black on black. That's the crazy part about it. Have we been brainwashed to think like that? That's the question. Stay on the line with us, babe, for real. That was some good information, and I'm glad you're calling in because you right in the target age that we're talking about right now. Caller from the 216 Ohio, you're live on Street Queens The Movement. Peace.
Hey, what's up, Lush?
What's up? Who's this, babe?
This your boy, Y.Loyal.
What's up, Y.Loyal? How you doing, babe?
I can't call it. Hey, I just.
Got.
Hey, what's going on? This is this Ab?
Yeah, this is Miss Ab.
That's what's up. Hey, I just wanted to comment on the whole team writing thing, man. Me coming from where we come from, it seems like our population is mostly dominated with teen violence on a daily basis. But I think it's more of, I mean, if you look at the whole situation with the whole economy, I mean, we can blame it on poverty, we can blame it on whatever. But to me, if you look at it, it's babies having babies. If you take a look at people that was raised going back in the 80s and the 70s, look at how we was raised differently to do things. We was raised differently. Matter of fact, we was raised out of respect. There's no respect nowadays, period. Like, there's no respect from this younger generation. And most people say the 80s babies, which that's what I am, we're like disrespectful, we rule. But if you think about it, look at the next generation that's coming, the 2000 babies. I mean, it's going to be babies that's worse than us in a sense that babies having babies. So there's no respect. There's no boundaries. There's no real male or should I say role model figures to teach these individuals how not to be violent. There's no outsources in Cleveland for us to go to where we can be like, hey, it used to be recreations. Like, they tore down all the recreations. So you left with
violence, sex, drugs. I mean, you know, so you left with get it the way you need to get it.
And most people misinterpret get it the way you need to get it with violence.
They glorify that, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. I mean, but you got some who do glorify. I mean, some people do love violence. I mean, that's we're in America. America loves violence. I mean, that's
Go box somebody. Don't kill somebody.
Hold on, gentlemen, real quick. I got to bring in one of our panel members, our queen. Peace, the beautiful Natalia from Florida. Peace. How you doing, babe? We talking about this teen violence right now, babe.
What's up, Lush? How my fellow street queens doing out here?
How you doing, Natalia?
Hey, baby. Just, you know, had to come in. I'm sorry I'm running a little bit late. But I'm hearing the gentleman here. I guess we have some guys in the chat room that we talking about the gang violence. I'm sitting here trying to sit back and get the perspective of things here.
They were you know, going into it with the situation. Go ahead and continue.
Yeah, I mean, what it boils down to is, to me, it's only my opinion, I think the teens nowadays, where I'm from, are more cowards. It's easy to shoot somebody. Clearly, you can pick up a gun down there anywhere, and you can shoot somebody. There's, the day of age of fighting seems to be lost. I mean, the whole respect, I fight you, okay, we fight, that's that, we had an issue, we had beef, that's over with. Nowadays, if you fight, I mean, you have to think about the safety of your family, the safety of yourself, the safety of, is this individual going to come back with a gun? 9 times out of 10, yes, he is. So, I mean, it's a different lifespan. We stay in a different nation.
How you feel about the situation? You know, you being a mother, you know what I'm saying, Natalia, how is it, you know, in regards to just dealing with your children and, you know, just seeing violence going on with children? What do you think about the teen violence situation?
Well, being from the childhood I was at, I was a juvie. I was in a lot of things I shouldn't have been. But I'm very honest with my children, you know, and one thing I do notice that nowadays, things is man crazy, like how he was saying. It's not like fighting or how we used to be in the clubs, you know, dancing each other. You know, exactly. If you fight someone, you don't have to worry about someone retaliating, you know, trying to shoot you, hurt your family to get back at you. And it's scary as a mother who has two little girls. I sit here and I make my children, they watch the news. They know. I said, then I'm like, wow, we got that young guy who got killed in Chicago. They had videotaped all the beatings and everything, and no one helped him. We just had recently, I think this past week, two young 14-year-old girls that were set up to fight The two people, the adults, the parents that were there are now facing charges for child abuse. I mean, it makes you think that, yeah, we definitely in a rough environment and, you know, days. A lot of kids aren't taught with conscience and to have, speak and not be peer pressure. Some of them are very mature, I do admit, like the one caller said, the lady. You know, some of them are more mature, but, you know, at the same time, it falls also on the parents, you know, how you raise your kids. Some parents think it's cute to teaching their kids to cuss. And
right.
I've been around some really ghetto-ass hood rats that they have their little kids, you know, F you, sticking out the middle finger, and they're laughing. I'm like, wow, okay, right. I just know I can't have my kids around y'all kids because y'all with that bullshit. But, you know, nowadays it's the kids raising kids or kids who have parents who were never home who teach them how to be mothers or fathers. And I see kids when you go – when I do my music conference, kids get brought along. This image is being glorified. I see, you know, kids places kids shouldn't be at. And that's all they know, and they think that's normal. So when they grow up, they already been numb to what's going on. Oh, that's nothing. Getting shot, getting mugged, that's nothing.
That's the truth.
That's real.
We're going to bring in our other queen. I think it is. I hope I'm not wrong. Peace, 609. I'm hoping that this is CG. Peace, queen.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, CG. Hi.
Hey.
I hear y'all having a deep conversation. What's going on?
And for all of y'all that don't know, this is our beautiful panel member, Street Queen CG Michelle. Up in the New Jersey area. We're talking about, you know, gang violence, just our teens. What's going on with our teens? What's going on? How can we help our teens? We had Nashawn of Peacemakers in New York that was talking about his organization, and Gorgeous Ebony's sister from Florida that had an organization also that was giving information. And we got, you know, different people from different states just talking about the teen violence issue. We talked about Darion, which when we did our last show, our show like last year, we talked about Darion, and actually CG brought that situation to the table and everything. CG, you want to speak on it?
On Darion or the whole gang violence or just everything in general?
Everything in general.
Yeah, well, I remember the Darion Albert story. That's the young boy in Chicago. Michael Bazin is actually doing a lot in memory of Darion to kind of stop, like, the violence amongst children and teens worldwide. But as of now, I see a lot of the violence going on. I see a lot of the separation in the children. I see, and it's not just in urban areas, it's in suburban. I'm seeing it a lot in suburban areas. There's an area around here in New Jersey, you know, nice houses, you know, full lawns, gardens, and you got all the kids walking around saying they're blood, you know, and it amazes me because I don't know where all the Crips are at. Like, well, who are y'all banging against? Like, so to me, it just kind of throws me off because everybody wants to do something what they see, you know, on TV. They're glorifying it, you know, and I'm not putting this on anyone on TV. I'm not just, you know, saying that that's where this comes from and it's not the parents' responsibility at home and it's not the teacher's responsibility in class. But a lot of it does come from the kids watching, you know, Lil Wayne glorify the being a blood and seeing the rappers with the teardrops tattooed on their faces. And a lot of it does come from that. A lot of it comes from TVs. A lot of it comes from, you know, the mafia movies. A lot of it comes from all of those scenarios because a lot of parents nowadays are letting the TVs raise their kids. So what else do they have to learn from but the TV? You know, and unfortunately now when you turn on a lot of our, you know, black shows or black music videos, that's what you see. Them glorifying violence, sex, disrespect. It's a lot of that. It's not everywhere, but trust and believe, you turn on the TV and watch the TV for a full day, you'll see it more than you don't see it.
Mm.
So, I think a lot of it does come from TV.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Go ahead.
What's the realness of this ever being solved completely? Completely.
Say that again.
Will teen violence ever be stopped completely? No, I don't think so. Citizen Black.
that's almost action. Well, violence should be stopped, period. It's not going to happen. There's going to be violence on every different, on every age group. I mean, whether it's a teen or adult, there's going to always be violence.
Yeah, but
I don't think the goal for the people, the advocates that are out there trying to stop teen violence, I don't think that their goal is to stop it 100%. That's just impossible. No one expects that. But to stop one case from happening, you know, you have to do it one by one.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I think. We got another caller real quick, guys. We got a caller, man. The lines are packed on this issue, man, for real. This is what I'm talking about. It takes a community to raise a child, man, for real. Caller from the 347-425. You're live on Street Queens, the movement, beautiful Queens, CG Michelle, the sexy Emma E2K magazine, Ebony, representing the Cali area, along with Natalia, representing the Florida area, and our beautiful and wonderful Kings, live in the building, our 17-year-old from New Jersey, along with, you know, Y Dot from the Ohio area, you know, live on the line. So we're talking about teen violence. Speak your piece on the situation, fam.
Peace, everybody. This is Lissette. How's everybody doing?
Wow, another screen live in the building.
Oh, man, I had to escape the man to get on the lines, man. Overtime is killing me. But I'm here and I'm trying. But peace, everybody. Kings, how you doing? You guys are talking about teens. You know, that's like my favorite topic because I work with teens and, you know, I volunteer my time a lot with the dance school and everything. We're living at an age where the economy is bad. It's been bad for a long time. And what happens is we kind of start taking it out on one another. You know, I think that economy has to do a lot with it. It's like if you pack a whole bunch of laboratory mice in a maze, in a box, you know, and you have one piece of cheese, eventually what happens is they start killing one another for that piece of cheese. And it's no different with us. We're just laboratory mice in the hood. You know, what happens is they throw drugs on the streets, all this other stuff. We start killing each other from adults to teenagers. We have, you know, domestic violence. I think that money is really the root of all this stuff. You have kids killing each other because they want to steal each other's Nikes or whatever the case may be, who looks better, who said what, glorifying the videos, you know, that you see the lyrics. This is all what I like to call a spell. And people who have their third eye open understand what the spell is. And what it is basically the radios, what you see on television, what you read on the paper every day is negativity. Eventually, our minds fall asleep, okay? Our minds fall asleep. We kind of get used to this stuff. Some people are like, you're never going to change. This is never going to change. So where are the leaders? Where are the Panthers? Where are the young lords that, you know, used to roam the streets back in the day?
Man. That's the truth. And since it's Black History Month also, if you really notice and look around, we have no leaders right now at the moment. Right now, we have become our own leaders, because you know why? Because most of the people that fought for justice or fought for peace are all martyrs right now, are all dead.
Right.
We've lost the fight, but we'll continue to fight through Street Queens, the movement, and other different outlets like the Peacekeepers and the other situation that Gorgeous has. We need to become peace makers. We need to become, you know, activists for our children. I work with special needs children every single day. Every single day. I work with children that people don't care about. I work with children that got IEPs. They got ADD, ADHD. Half of us got ADHD or ADD. You know what I'm saying?
Don't
even know it, but you know what they do with our children, our minority children, or even Caucasian children, because I had one too. She had ADD, ADHD, and I loved her to death. They throw them in an area and say, oh, they special needs children, you know, and you know what? Because all
they
need,
drug them.
You know, nobody wants. They want to drug them to death and make them zombies instead of taking the time to show these children that somebody cares. And that's what I did with one student. They classified him as mental retardation. That child, I said, didn't nobody. They said he couldn't learn. He couldn't do nothing. He doesn't talk. This, that, and third. I sat down with this boy. I mean, it took a couple of times. You had to be like, what is wrong with you, boy? But I got to this boy because I loved him and I didn't want him to be another statistic. And I actually transferred from another school just so I can see this child graduate. If I can save one child in this world, you know what I'm saying, then I've done my job. You know what I'm saying? And with him, you know, it's basically he was insecure about his weight. He was, you know, growing up as a boy, as a teen, you know, he couldn't really talk to his mother or his stepfather about stuff. I was like almost like his aunt, his big sister he can relate to. He wanted to get a girlfriend. He wanted to talk about different things like that. He needed that, but there was nobody that took the time. Even with his reading, he's an excellent reader from the time I met him. He's an excellent reader. He's more confident about his reading. He's more sociable than before. He used to have serious anger problems. He would have thrown a desk on you, but he doesn't do that anymore. And he's a wonderful child. I love him to death. I love him to death. I take him like my own son. And I even like, you know, if you do good today, you know, I'm going to give you something or whatever, you know, different incentives. You know what I'm saying? Half of these kids, you know, they're trying to fit in. They're trying to find a place to fit in. And, you know, if they don't feel that love and affection, I've been there myself too. You know what I'm saying? Feeling like, you know, I'm not wanted and stuff like that. Dealing with situations like my father was killed when I was young. So I was angry and stuff like that. I've been in the streets and all that. I done flipped birds and everything. I done did a lot of things, and I don't even want to talk about it on the radio. But I've done some stuff. But you know what I'm saying? You know, when you find a purpose in life and you want to make change, change comes by the willing and sometimes by force. A drastic situation has to happen. And this child has changed for the best. And the thing about it is we need to start Karen, I implore anybody that's listening right now, if you see a neighborhood child or a child that you honestly feel like you believe in, try to be a big sister or a big brother. Be a mentor. You know what I'm saying? Be a mentor. Try your best to help out at least one child in your community if you can. But, Seth, go ahead. You was about to say something, babe.
So you were talking about your past experiences, and, you know, it takes a lot for people like ourselves to come from, you know, certain neighborhoods and stuff like that, be in the street, flipping birds and all this other stuff. It takes a lot to actually cross over, you know what I'm saying? But it's the experiences that you gain that make you who you are today. The struggle is really just making that crossover. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, but this is all I know. You know, it's flipping birds and all this other stuff. It's like if you're shown to live in a box, how do you know there's life outside the box, you know what I'm saying? And it takes a lot of courage to kind of cross over. But what I wanted to share was, I know it's a little off topic, but I was thinking about Tupac and Biggie a couple of days ago, right? Two young men, you know, of color with great voices. The whole nation had them, you know, everybody knew who they were. And ironically, they both die. Similar deaths, right? Yeah. And nobody knows the murderers. Nobody knows the killers. I mean, isn't that ironic? Isn't that ironic, you know, how these two young men who had the world by their ears all of a sudden drop off the face of the earth? I always say that there's something definitely bigger than us, something bigger than we even care to open our eyes to. And, yeah, I'm telling you, with the media, with the TV, with all this stuff, like, they want Obama dead. You know that. Nobody wants to see a man of color in the office, on, you know what I'm saying, on the throne. Nobody wants to see that nowadays. There's something much bigger than us, you know, and the scary part is that it's so hard to control. And, Lush, you're right. We all really have to just step out of ourselves and kind of help one another out. You know, I volunteer my time at the dance school. I no longer work there, but I like to go back. I like to visit. I like to talk to the kids still. I mean, I noticed that there was like a group of kids that was separate. You know, it was two groups. They didn't talk to each other. And I used to hear them chit-chatting about one another and all this beef. They even got into a fight, like, up the block from the school. Mm-hmm. And when I got these two kids, you know, the two groups together, I schooled them. I screamed on them. I was like Mama Liz that day, you know? And a couple of days later, they started talking to one another. You understand what I'm saying? Just because I put them in the same room and I was like, y'all not leaving until y'all make up, kind of like our parents did with our siblings, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I felt so good. I felt so good because I'm like, wow, you know, I don't know if they brought it up amongst themselves. I don't know if I initiated it, but it felt good to see them kind of just get along.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we got this deep conversation going on in the chat room with the 17-year-old that's online and Citizen Black, man. They like really going in. He's on the line, but Citizen Black said once Black people stop worrying about how the solution is going to make white people feel. And then the response from the 17-year-old was, U.S. loves fighting. I think if you view it in race, then that's wrong. Everyone needs help, you know what I'm saying, whether you're white or Black. You know what I'm saying? And he said that the president is Black. Come on now. You know what I'm saying? Everybody needs help. You know what I'm saying? And then Citizen Black says that the president doesn't go to his church anymore, because he's concerned about how white people will feel about him attending a church that is effective in the Black community.
Wow.
And Citizen Black says, sorry, guys, you set the bar for violence too low. And, our young gentleman on the line said, yo, call in, man. He said he doesn't have any phone. And then, I told him to call through Skype. And then Citizen Black said, we need to kill the men who own the cow. And I'm lost off that one. And, the 17-year-old said, that's more violence. And then Citizen Black says, I'm not against self-defense. The Panthers and Young Lords don't get support from the Black public. And then told the 17-year-old, honestly, I'm sick and tired of good non-racist liberal white folks about now. And
yep.
Then he said stop focusing on my race, that's messed up. And Citizen said that you can't tell me what to focus on. And I said basically race doesn't matter. And he says that dude, you're racist, seriously, and race is a global issue. And then Citizen Black says, do you really think all people who are not focusing on race are being affected? And then Citizen Black says, you're right, the whole world is non-white, and the top 10 countries to live in the world are all white countries. This is that because white people haven't focused on race. And, they were just going in the chat room. So I just wanted to bring the light, what's going on in the chat room. He said that that's what all good non-racist colorblind white people say, cheese. So how do you guys feel about that?
It's kind of hard to understand what he's saying. He might, and I'm not even trying to be sarcastic, instead of this conversation, he might want to get a book and start focusing on that, because it's kind of hard to understand exactly what point he's trying to get at. So he might want to start focusing on violence and start focusing on education. That might be his pull right there.
Wow.
I would want to say, I don't think race has anything to do with teen violence, because it's teen violence in the Mexicans' neighborhood. And
economy.
I mean, it's teen violence everywhere, white, Black, green, purple, I mean, whatever. It's just violence. And racism, that's just a whole nother show.
Yeah, that's totally different.
That is definitely a whole other show.
I mean, by stealth is almost a disease. So
Well, we want to hear our team's response on how did you feel about that whole situation with Citizen Black in the chat room with you, man. What's your point on that?
I don't understand where he's coming from, and it's not because I'm white. I feel like he's focusing on my race, and if I had never said that, where would he be going with his conversation?
Mm.
What would he be saying about me?
He's not saying anything. He's talking in circles.
Yeah, he's just saying that like, we've kept him down. I'm sorry, but, like, you know, I didn't have a part to do with that. My ancestors may have, and I regret that, but he needs to get off my dick and stop talking about that. That is not my fault, man. I'm sorry about that. You need to leave me alone, though. Like, you go Black Panther down the street or something, you know, like, I'm sorry, but there's nothing I can do.
Listen, this is my thing. This is exactly why we need mentors, because, listen, everybody should log on to 1millionmentors.com and sign yourself up and choose a child or, you know, someone. The waiting list for mentors is 2 years long. You know, some people are waiting on a two-year waiting list just to get a mentor for their child. And if you don't get a mentor for your child, they'll end up online typing in circles like that.
Wow.
I think that we should focus on educating these kids so that they don't feel like that, so they don't think it's just a race thing. Because although racism does exist, I work in a courthouse, and I see all different types of races in there acting a fool every day. It's not just Black people. It's not just white people. It's not Hispanic. It's everyone.
That's the truth. I mean, this teen violence is globally. Violence in general is globally. If you notice, you know, from you know, with CG, us growing up, you know what I'm saying, from Ebony growing up, all of us, you know, and even Emma growing up in our age range, when we were coming up, we didn't see that many, you know what I'm saying, violent acts going on. Like, it was violent acts, but you didn't see it so promotedly, bluntly in your face. When you go on TV, the FCC, which basically censors things, basically would have had banned. Okay, when Janet Jackson went on and had her malfunction, we had a whole episode. But you got TMZ, you got all these different TV shows, and they're using all kind of profanity in front of these children's face that watch this every single day. They watch the cartoons with violence every single day. Even on the regular commercial radio, they're saying bitch, damn, all kinds of MFers on there. And FCC is not saying anything about it. Everything used to be so taboo, but now it's in your face. Grand Theft Auto, I don't knock it. Some people play it. But Grand Theft Auto, I think it's more designed for older adults. Your child shouldn't be playing Grand Theft Auto. If they know how to play Grand Theft Auto and they don't know how to read, then we have a problem, okay? So you got them playing Grand Theft Auto. You got all kinds of reality shows with people showing guns and all kinds of stuff. Like, America, the world in general, promotes violence.
Right.
And we love it. I don't care how anybody says, people love that mess. With Darion's situation, I'm going to keep talking about that because it was a shame nobody called 911.
Actually, what's so crazy is it was adults there. That was so disturbing that it was adults there watching it. That's crazy to me.
Can somebody put me on? Because I have no idea.
Darion, go ahead, CG, and explain about the Darion situation, CG.
Darion Albert, he was a 15-year-old boy in Chicago, and he was walking home from school one day, and a lot of kids after school, I don't know why the fights happened, but there was a bunch of big fights going on outside of the school. He's walking by the fight, and he gets attacked. He gets hit over the head with the a wooden plank, and he gets jumped and stomped and beat, and someone tapes it and records it, and the results of his injuries were so severe that he died.
Oh, my God.
And we can't even just talk about in regards to Darion. We also had another young gentleman around the same time span that got set on fire because he wouldn't relinquish his bike to some children. They diced him with kerosene or alcohol and set this boy on fire.
That's Emmett Till shit.
Yes. You know. Citizen is really like saying some wild stuff in the box. The Citizen, we talked about. I said that the world promotes violence. He says that what's he say? He said that's all the good non-racist, colorblind white people say. Don't take it personal. You sound just like that. Ain't no team violence in China. Ain't no team violence in Cuba. Ain't no team violence in Korea. The Negroes.
I assume he's been to China and Korea. I assume he's been on the other side of the world, too.
Those countries consist of gangs. Gangs are their life. How can they... Where drugs exist, where money exists, there's violence.
In China, they got one of the big... What's the... They call it the triads and stuff. Come on, like, they got gang violence out there, man.
So this is why you grand theft triads are that.
I think someone said it best. I think he need to pick up a book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Before he does not entertain him anymore.
Man, Citizen Black is off the hook in the chat room right now, though. So shout out to Navic in the chat room and everything, you know what I'm saying? Not causing non-dramatic in the chat room. But, you know, we always need people like that. I mean... Still love you, Citizen Black, because everybody has a right to their own opinion. I'm just like, you know, base it on fact. That's the only thing we ask, base it on fact. If you say that there's no violence, no team violence in all these countries, let me know when you go over there, my dude.
Lush, as a matter of fact, there's some stuff going on in Colombia now because the kids are killing other adults and other children. Okay, we're talking about kids that are 11 years old. 12 years old, they're killing one another because of territory, okay, because they're selling stuff in the street and, you know, you're taking my corner, I'm taking your corner. The difference is that, you know, it's drugs, it's clothes, it's food, and they're killing each other over this. I'm telling you, the lack of money, okay, or too much money is the problem to all of this stuff, I think, personally. Okay, our public schools, okay, let's take it to the Bronx. I'm from the Bronx, right? Our public schools are so jacked up. Our books are so old. Everything is so old. When you go to any other school outside of the Bronx, okay, you're looking at schools that are, you know, quote, unquote, in the hood. They have pools. They have football fields. They have computers in the classrooms. We don't see none of that stuff. We grow up feeling like we're in jail. In the projects, you got fences. Why don't we replace those fences with bushes and trees? You understand? If you want to make a division, why got to be bars? In my public school, Columbus High School in the Bronx, okay, it was the same thing. Gates on the windows. It's like...
They feel like they're in jail.
They instill that stuff in your mind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They instill it in your mind.
If you make them feel like they're in captivity, if you put... an animal in a cage, they're going to run wild, okay? So if they feel like they're an animal in a cage, what you expect them to do? You know what I'm saying? That's the situation. We talking about team violence. How can we talked about everything that is the issue, but now we need to come up with the solution. And I'm going to go ahead and bring in our guru, Tina Fortune, live in the building. Yeah,
hey. I'm so glad I could catch the show. I was sitting there, I was like, oh my goodness, I need to jump on, so I apologize I couldn't get on earlier.
It's okay,
this topic,
Tina.
You know what? It's so much out there with teens, between violence and sex. You know, I'm almost beginning to think that these are two topics we just need to stay on top of because we're talking about behaviors that have been passed on from generation to generation to generation. And we have to get to the point where we just doing like you're doing now, going ahead, just smashing right into the straightforward.
Yeah, definitely.
So
what are some of the, you know, the solutions? We've talked about everybody's, gave their point of view. We had, you know, Nyshawn that has the peacekeepers in New York that came in and talked about his situation, his organization for helping the youth. And we also had Ebony's sister, Gorgeous, in Florida, that her situation, you know, helping the youth. And she's only 18, and she started an organization. So, what are some of the things that you feel like, you know, that we can do to help? What are some of the solutions?
Well, one of the things is I just don't know that the kids are being heard. And one of the things that we do, you all know I have a nonprofit for single parents, but I don't focus just on the parents. I do focus on the kids. And I believe that the kids, you know, we spend a lot of time focusing on the adults who really should have it together, and yet we, you know, some don't. So why not listen to them? They need focus. We talk a lot about mentors, but you know what? I'm finding that the same people you ask to mentor are spread so thin because they are the heroes in the community, but they're trying to hero, you know, 9 and 10 kids at a time. So part of the solution that I do as a parent, you know, and it's no excuse if I'm a young parent, it's no excuse if I don't have, you know, I can't get all over the place, is we have to get to the point where the kids, we see them as our responsibilities. They did not ask to come onto this earth. And we as parents do the research. Like my kid, I have a 13-year-old, 11-year-old, and a 5-year-old son and 2 girls. We watch a movie, Larry Clark's Kid. I tell people, I even have the DVD. That movie is something kids need to watch. We need to go to the libraries, get the free documentaries on methamphetamine. You know, let them sit there and watch New Jack City. Let them see the effects drugs and violence have on them and on us in our communities. And I'm going to tell you another movie I recently watched called Turned Out. And I'm going to tell you, when my son hits maybe 10 or 11, I'm going to let him watch that movie. It is graphic. It is, it's all about how these men go to prison and how they're raped. And it's about how it's no joke. And it's the things in society we don't talk about in place in the forefront. And these kids, we make a sex and violence are so glorified in the media. And you know what? They need to understand this stuff is fake. Just like Bugs Bunny, just like G.I. Joe, it's just fake. And they just don't get it. They believe that they're invisible, and we're not teaching them. I heard someone say earlier on another show, they said, you know, if you go into inner city school, the first thing you see when you walk in are trophies. And I said, you know, that's true. They did really well in sports. But if you go into a private school, the first thing you see are accolades. You see the education, the debate team. We have to start telling our kids that they're leaders first, their strength is second, because too many of our kids are the strong and they're weak because now they're working for people that are the ones that are going for the accolades because education is at the forefront. So, again, part of that solution is the parents have to get educated. They have to stop being their kids' friends. And those in the society that are the mentors, we applaud them. But you know what? We need the parents to step up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that from the perspective of a single parent. So most people, you know, I know it. I've had kids since I've been an adult. I've never been without kids. Since I've been 18, I had a child in my belly. So I've never been without children. I know what it feels like to feel like you haven't lived. But you know what? They're our responsibility, and we have to see them as first. We just have to.
And that's real talk. And quick thing, if you feel like your child is, you know, at risk or being involved, get them some counseling, you know, from a qualified professional. A lot of us want to be in denial and say, oh, my child don't have no problem. You know what I'm saying? That John, okay, he just angry. No, go get John some counseling. You know what I'm saying? If you do have weapons in your household, remove them or lock them up, you know, and less access to violent media or influences. You know, whether it's that uncle or whether it's that person that they look up to and they're involved in violent acts, separate that child from that situation. Less is the best.
Unless I was telling you, them videos, I'm telling you, that turned out, I saw it on, I'm telling you, when I seen that video, I said, oh, my God, I'm telling you, it's about a prison in Alabama, and it is a documentary about how the men pray these guys out. And I'm talking about these ain't no little dudes. They big dudes, sleeping with big dudes. It's, you know, there's this methamphetamine documentary on, I got it from the library. My daughter cried. Mom, I don't want to watch this. I said, no, You need to see this is what happens. Get the DVDs about these girls that go to jail because, again, it's glorified. These kids. And then if you get a counselor, that's great advice. But you know what? Get somebody that you know has some type of background in that situation because they need to understand it. Look, it's not easy for these kids out here nowadays. There's so much peer pressure. Dads are missing from the picture because they don't want to step up. Moms are walking away. Grandparents are stuck with, you know, the kids and responsibilities. They don't want it. These kids have to be around people that they really believe love them and trust them. Then you got to make sure them people ain't touching them. So, I mean, you just got to watch all around.
Yeah, really.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You ain't lying. A lot of them are getting molested, you know, which is another topic on another show. But a lot of them are getting touched by their own parents. So, you know, it leads into other violent acts. You know, we have to be aware of our children's environment. We have to be aware. I know we single mothers, we're single fathers, but we have to take that time. If they want you to check out their homework or they say, Mom, I really need to talk to you, and I know we get irritated, especially us single moms, but we got to take that little inkling of a time. It might be that talk that might save their life, you know?
Yes. You know, and growing up, it was the same thing. Like, my mom used to talk to me all the time, and you know, about sex and all this other stuff. I used to be like, Mom, I don't want to talk about that. She's like, no, you need to hear it. And kids are going to do what they want to do behind your back anyway, regardless. It's curiosity, okay? It's in our human nature. But those talks go a long way. I don't have any kids, but I was a kid myself once. I was curious about life. And the fact that my parents used to instill, you know, the word of God, first of all, in my mind, okay, and just regular talks about society got me out of a lot of trouble. It avoided me from getting caught up, you know, with the neighborhood kids and stuff like that. Like, those talks really do go a long way.
Yeah,
and then to throw the financial tip in there for you, Lush. Oh, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, to throw the financial part, we always kind of come on. Let me tell you, when she's talking about those talks, one of the things I do as a single mom is I do a date night with them at least, you know, I try once a week, I have three. And if you have multiple kids, they have to have individual time. They have to. They must. They need individual mom or mom-dad time. They need that. And just take them out to a nice little place and get an appetizer. You know, you can go to a restaurant and just, you know, go into, we have great Mexican restaurants down here. Just order salsa and guacamole and just sit there. And if you silent for a couple times, it's okay. Go to Starbucks. Do something that just might cost you $3 or $4, but it's different and it's out of the comfort zone. So you can get them to open up and start talking, and you will find that they will start talking.
Mm-hmm.
Be consistent, definitely.
Mm-hmm. That's real talk. And you never lied about that. Can you give the people your website and everything, sis?
Yeah, it's parkwisdom.com. And come over there. We're doing some new things. So we just got our first corporate sponsor from the nation's top IT company. So once I get the check in my hand, I'm going to start bouncing their name around. But Spark is getting ready to do some big things. So definitely get involved.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Make sure you're getting involved with Spark Wisdom. She is our guru. She drops, I mean, besides her speaking so well and just, like, captivating people, she's just, like, a guru. I mean, I just don't, I mean, everybody's, like, so flabbergasted when she comes on. It's like, like.
No, I'm just like, yo, we just all being consistent, and I always applaud what you're doing, and, you know, I'm always there for you when you need me. So I'm going to jump off now.
Okay. We appreciate you, man, and we love you, man. Check out Spark Wisdom. You know what I'm saying? Definitely, we love you, Tina, for real. That's what's up. And we had Tina Fortune on it. So for our ladies that are still live on the line, our wonderful queens, CG has left. Shout out to Emma. I know she had to bounce on Natalia. But from CG to Ebony to what are our closing thoughts? What are you guys' closing thoughts on this you know, the teen violence situation, starting off with CG?
I just think that it's very important that we all those who feel like they can make a huge impact in a child's life, to go to 1millionmentors.com and try to sign up or look for your local Boys and Girls Club and try to sign up and talk to some of these kids. You know, the young guys need to know how to be a man. If you're a young black man, the only person who can teach you how to be a young black man is another black man. Okay? If you're a young black girl, the only person who can really teach you how to be a young black girl is a black woman. If you're a Hispanic, I mean, we can all help each other out, but what better than to show you how to be, which you can be, than that of your own, right? And we can reach out, show everyone that, you know, we should make sure that race is not as big of a deal as these people try to make it seem to be. Violence is worldwide, and we want these kids to grow up with a huge heart and be something, and let them realize that what we do in everyday world, we work our job, you know, and we can do that as opposed to you watching what you see in these music videos and thinking that that's so, you know. So just sign up to be mentors. I think that's the first step. A lot of change.
That's real talk. Ebony, final thoughts?
I think that start by bridging the gap between parent and children. If you're too busy, you know, to have dinner throughout the week, make sure that you have dinner together at least Saturday and Sunday when you don't work. You know, like Tina Fortune said, you know, if you do have multiple children, take time out and set aside that special time for, you know, you and your child in order to bridge that gap. Find out who your children's school teachers are. Communicate with the teachers. Find out if there's anything that's going on in the school systems that, you know, that your child has not been telling you outside of just coming home and giving you their report card. Ask to see, you know, the homework. You know, what did they learn in school? Have simple conversations with your kids regarding their day-to-day activities, you know. Make time for that because, you know, as single women, you know, who are in relationships with, you know, gentlemen that are not the father of their children, you know, you do take that extra time for your man. So, you know, don't do anything more for a man than what you would do for your child. Put your child first.
Don't get that man steak and your children eating oodles and noodles.
Definitely. So I would just say at the end of the day, you know, bridge the gap.
That's real talk. And Lissette, your final thoughts?
I think that every little bit counts. And what I mean by that is, you know, donate some of your time to, you know, the local basketball team or, you know, the nearby church. I mean, we can't do it alone. We can't, you know, make this whole big movement by ourselves. We definitely have to team up and join groups like, you know, Street Queens, the movement, and other organizations that are willing to reach out to the community. I mean, Emma, you know, Emma's great at what she does. She goes out every year. She feeds the community. She gives toys out. You know, so whenever I can pitch in, I join Emma, and I'll donate whatever I can, you know, and I'll pick up from my neighborhoods, you know, just to donate to Emma's organization. But that's how it starts. We have to hold hands. You know, we definitely have to hold hands in the movement and start with your own community. You know, you don't have to aim so high. Help the neighbor, you know. Mm-hmm. Their kid is struggling. A one little word, one little sentence that you can tell that child can change their life.
And that's real talk. And you heard that first from all of our beautiful street queens, and we got to shout out Ashley. She wasn't feeling well. Shout out to Ashley, our graphic designer, our street queen. You know, she's been, you know, under the weather, so shout out to her, and our prayers go out to her. Shout out to Lynx. She did a wonderful job on the situation with Haiti out there in New York. It was a big, wonderful event. It was live-streamed. They raised a lot of money to help the people in Haiti. Shout out to the people in Haiti. Shout out to Wyclef for all his efforts. Along with that, also shout out to Tina Fortune, our guru, Emma that came through, and Natalia and all the beautiful queens we have on here. Shout out to my girl Felicia Sabri too. You know, we are here to motivate people, to inspire people, and shout out to all our leaders out there, you know. And we want to remember those who are gone. Martin Luther King, Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, you know, all these people that lay down their lives for, you know, people in order for us to do things like this. Shout out to them. It takes a lot to do the right thing, and it takes little to do the wrong thing. Let's start doing the right thing and stop taking the easy way out. Let's stop taking the time out for our children that can't read. Stop passing our children through. Parents, start intervening. If your school wants to keep on passing your child through, when you know your child has a problem, deal with it. Stop handing your child over to the system to take care of your child. Do what you got to do as a parent. And for those parents that are doing what they got to do for their kids and that are struggling, God will continue to give you that strength to keep on pressing on to take care of that child. And this is the thing. We're going to pray for our children, and we're going to pray for the people as we bow our heads. Oh, Heavenly Father, we call upon you because you are awesome and wonderful God. And we ask you to bestow your wonder and your grace on all of our beautiful street queens that come and join us each and every day or every Thursday and always go out and support the community or support someone every single day, from CG to Natalia to Ebony to Tina to Lynx to Ashley to all of them, every last one of the street queens. Every last one of them that go out there and support their community, I want you to watch over them. For all of our callers that called in, please watch over them, please, and their family. Watch over all of the people in Haiti. Make sure you watch over all of our children in the world that are suffering. Provide them and give them the strength to be able to go on and keep their heads erected like our ancestors did, in order to press on and let our ancestors provide their strength within us to continue to be the leaders that they set forth for us in this world, God. God, give us the strength to be able to touch everyone and teach our people, and for our people to teach the next generation and the next generation, and provide us to keep instilling our values and our family values and our traditions and our legacies on. Let us break the chain of violence, God. Let us be strong enough to do it, God. Give us the strength and watch over us, God, because you are awesome, God, a wonderful God, a forgiving God. Even those who did go astray and not in your way, God, bless them and let them see the evils of their way, God, and watch over them, God, because you are good, God. And we love you, God. In your name we pray. Amen.
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 Street Queens, the movement. This is what we about. Log on www.streetqueensthemovement.ning.com. Make sure that you sign up to what CG discussed. Make sure you support that. CG, mention that to the people one more time so they know where they need to log on to be a mentor.
It's 1millionmentors.com. Or you can go on to michaelbasden.com. He's a radio show host, and he's a strong advocate for trying to promote and get mentors worldwide. So.
That's what it is. Make sure you support Michael Basden. Make sure you support the movement. Support our youth. Even start a community activity in your community. We need to take our community back. We cannot rely on the government. We cannot rely on anybody. It starts with us. Let's make a change. Like Michael Jackson said, I'm talking to the man in the mirror, and the man in the mirror is you. It starts with us. So let's make change. I love y'all, ladies. You already know this is our place of healing, our place to encourage and help people. And same time, same place, each and every Thursday. I love my ladies. They're beautiful queens. Make sure you support them. And ladies, give your Twitter out, because you know Twitter is like the craziest thing going on right now, and Facebook. So give y'all information out for the people. Real quick. Go ahead, CG.
My Twitter is twitter.com/CGMichelle. And my Facebook is the same, facebook.com/CGMichelle. You probably can catch my Facebook more.
Yeah, she's on her Facebook hard body, so make sure y'all, if y'all want to get her fast, get on the Facebook. And Ebony?
My Twitter is Ebonisha. It's Ebonisha.
That's what it is. And Lisette?
It's Lisette on Twitter, and Lisette on Facebook. check
that's
it out.
What it is. Make sure you follow Links. I think it's Spanish Fly Links, and then Colombian Princess on Twitter, and Miss Photographics and Emma_E2K. So we in the building, and you know what I'm saying? No matter what people say, no matter what people do, keep winning, stay focused. Shout out to Archie Eversoul for this song, because this is like my anthem, and I love this song. You got to keep winning no matter what. They don't care about us, so we got to care about ourselves, and we out.
They don't give a damn about you. Kick you in the face when you down.
Yeah.
So many people doubted me. Well, I'm on top, look at me now. Look at that bleeding in the street. By somebody that I thought was my friend.
Yeah.
All I really know is that I ain't never gonna stop. Homeboy, I'm a big winner.
I wanna see you winning ever since the beginning.